Our first scripture lesson today comes from the Hebrew Bible. It's Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 597. And I am reading from the Holman Christian Study Bible. Hear these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a high and lofty throne, and his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each one had six wings, with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. His glory fills the whole earth." The foundations of the doorways shook at the sound of their voices, and the temple was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips and live among people of unclean lips, and because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, and in his hand was a glowing coal that he had taken from the altar with thongs. And he reached my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your wickedness is removed and your sin is atoned for." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Who shall I send? Who will go with for us?" I said, "Here I am. Send me." The word of God for the people of God.
Our epistle lesson comes from the first letter of Paul to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 11. You can find this in your pew Bible in the New Testament on page 165. And as you recall, we've been reading through 1 Corinthians throughout the previous month and into February as well. "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the good news that I proclaimed to you, which you in turn received, in which also you stand, through which also you are being saved if you hold firmly to the message that I proclaimed to you, unless you have come to believe in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace toward me has not been in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we proclaim, and so you have come to believe." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson today comes from the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. A story that many of us have heard since we were little guys growing up in the church, but one that I hope you hear for the first time today. You can find it on page 58 of the New Testament in your pew Bible, so please follow along. "Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, Jesus saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, He said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet, if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. How many of you heard that gospel lesson for the first time? Okay, good. It's fine if you did, but I was just interested that you'd heard it before. How many of you can remember when you were a kid always wondering what you were going to be when you grew up? Do you remember that? Neo is still asking it of himself every day. Actually, I joke about Neo, but when I was a kid, I kept changing my mind. I couldn't make up my mind. And I finally figured out as I got older that I really didn't need to decide what I would become when I grew up. And that if I played it right, I could live a life that had a little magic in it yet. Well, when I was a little guy, one summer my family decided to go out west. We lived in central Ohio. And my parents took us three kids to a dude ranch in Winter Park, Colorado. It was Beaver's Dude Ranch. Actually, they called it Guest Ranch because they were trying not to insult people from Ohio. And it's still there. If you drive up and over the pass and go into Winter Park, it's right there as you come into town on the right. It's Beaver's. It's not a guest ranch any longer, but it's still there. And I can remember when we first got to that ranch, I loved horses. I loved the fact that you could ride the horses, you could go through the forest, you could go fast. And just like an awful lot of kids of my generation, I wanted to be a cowboy when I grew up. Well, it didn't happen. But I'll tell you, that week that we were at Beaver's Guest Ranch felt so darn Western to a kid from Ohio. Well, the other thing about growing up in central Ohio is that my family and I would spend 10 summers on Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And every summer that we would go to Cape Cod, my father had a 16-foot Boston Whaler. Anybody know what a whaler is? That's a small boat, but it's a great boat. My dad would captain and pilot that Boston Whaler all through the bays and the shoreline of Cape Cod in Massachusetts. And every day we'd go out to the beach and we'd spend hours upon hours walking the beach and beachcombing. And if God washed something up on the shore, I wanted to figure out what it was. Now, I know my parents got so tired of having me ask about sand dollars and seagulls and horseshoe crabs and fish and seaweed and anything that would get washed up. I had a question about what that was and how it lived, because I was convinced, in fact, it was several decades, that I was convinced that I would return one day to Cape Cod, to the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute, because I was going to become a marine biologist when I grew up. It never happened. Well, I went off to college. I got a degree in biology, and then between my junior and senior years, I took a student internship at Grand Canyon National Park. And my life was forever changed. Because it was at Grand Canyon that I discovered that it was possible to have a career telling people about God's amazing handiwork, although we didn't use those words. But I could talk to people about the Grand Canyon and get paid for it as a park ranger. And so for 22 years in Grand Canyon, in the Everglades, in Alaska, I became a park ranger and thought I had found what I was truly meant to do. Well, as it turned out, I didn't really fully understand it. But I did recognize that everything in my life had led me up to where I was at that point. If you are like me, if you're like most people in their lives, you will have changed direction several times. Almost as many times as you've changed jobs. People change direction in their lives. And finally, after many, many years in the National Park Service, I finally turned down the static enough to listen to God's call on my life. Because unbeknownst to me, God had in mind that I would be a parish pastor in the United Methodist Church. I was just too dumb to know it at the time. And finally, as I grew and matured in a blinding flash of the obvious, I finally discovered that everything I had done in my life was going to be utilized by God in what God wanted me to do. God had in mind my role in mission and ministry, and I needed to discover it. It's really all about stewardship of God's good gifts. I want you to think about that last lesson that we read from the gospel, where what we hear is that Simon Peter and James and John are leaving their nets. They're no longer going to be fishermen. But rather, that's not really what happens. They remain as fishermen, but they leave the life that they knew and they follow Jesus Christ. And in that wonderful line, Jesus says, "Don't be afraid, because I will make you fish for people." It's not really politically correct, but if you think about the older versions of the Bible, it's that beautiful line, "I will make you fishers of men." He also meant women too. So they followed Jesus and they became evangelists, if you will, spreading the word of God and heightening the coming kingdom of God along with Jesus Christ. Well, if you think about it, in the United Methodist Church, we often talk about our mission, which is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. For many, many years, in most evangelical circles, people were always talking about bringing more and more people to Jesus Christ. The whole point of evangelism was to win more souls for Jesus. Now, that clearly is very, very important. It is critically important that we introduce people to the good news of the gospel. It is what we do to draw people to Jesus Christ, but it is not only about numbers. It is not only about how much money you promise to the church. It is not only about how many people with which we fill the pews on a Sunday morning. It is about opening people up to the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It is about helping people to discern what it is that God has in mind for their lives, about how they can use their specific talents in specific ministries to serve God's people in God's church. It is a matter of stewardship of those good gifts and graces. You know, if you look around you here, all around you are people who have utilized God's gifts in service to God. And I want you to know, I checked with every one of these people before I even mentioned them in front of you, because I wanted to make sure I had their permission. But I want you to think about some of the folks who are around you. I want you to think about Melba Taylor, who is your lay leader. Now, one thing you may know about Melba is that for many, many years she was a nurse. And it was that loving and caring and compassion for people that she now utilizes as a caregiver, but also in the many, many roles that she plays in this church. In fact, yes, she is here. She's in the back. I would have expected she was downstairs working on the community meal. But I'm also glad that she's here with us. Melba is involved in nearly everything in our ministries. She's involved at the conference level, at the district level. Melba is a force in the Rocky Mountain Conference of the United Methodist Church. I want you to think about Perry and Ruby Moore. Perry is an expert at anything electrical. And he, of his own volition, looked around and said, you know, people are falling downstairs because they're dark, because they can't find the switch. So he and Ruby came up with, found lighted plates and have gone around the entire church. They spent several weeks going around the church replacing those plates so that now when I bumble around in the darkness, I look for that light and I punch it and I have less of an opportunity to fall down the back stairs. Perry and Ruby are humble folks. They would never call attention to themselves, but they are always looking out for ways to improve our church. Despite all the times that I joke about him, Mark Doctor is an amazing guy. Mark runs a business. He's a small business owner. He has a laboratory where he makes dental appliances for people's mouths. Mark has heard the call of God. And in his business role, he is our treasurer. He also became a lay speaker and now is helping lead a Bible study with United Methodist Men. And starting last week, he's helping me in leading the new member class. Mark is touched by God. I want you to think about Barb and Rich Stevens. They run a successful business servicing home spas and hot tubs. And it is that business acumen that they both bring to serving as active members on our board of trustees. Barb would probably be the last one to admit it, but she is an amazing leader of that board of trustees. And they both pointed out to me that, in fact, the trustees are a group effort. It's a team effort to get everything done around this church. I want you to think about Becky Ross, who in her workday world is a teacher, an education administrator, and she loves kids so much that she is a dedicated Sunday school teacher for the little guys. She's also the chair of our education team. And when I asked Becky, she said, "You got to tell them I'm still looking for Sunday school teachers." Becky is also the chair of our staff parish relations committee. She's a committed person. Mike Sumrall would probably prefer to be in the background. I don't think many people know this. Mike is a professional cartoonist, and he sells his cartoons on a business based on the Internet. And so it's Mike's amazing knowledge of computers and sound systems that allow him to run the sound system every Sunday. He records every worship service on DVD that we can send them out to our homebound members. He also takes care of our website. So anybody with a computer anywhere in the world can discover what it is that we're doing here at Burns Memorial United Methodist Church in Aurora, Colorado. And Mike is also the chair of our coordinating council. And finally, I could go on and on, but just one more person, Kathy Moton, who is a committed servant, if you will, of Jesus Christ. Kathy is committed to social justice. She brings that passion for people into her classroom, and all of our teenagers are then the recipient of that incredible role model, if you will, of taking care of people, of watching out for human rights. Kathy is a committed Christian activist. As I said, I could go on and on. So many of you are using your gifts and God's graces in order to be in specific ministries to help out God's people. And I won't mention it, but I know that all around you are sitting in your pew people who pray every day for the good people of our church, for all the folks in the world. And many, many of you have committed large sums of your money in order to support our church and our ministry. All around you are committed people of stewardship. I want you to think about James and John and Simon Peter, who were and continue to be fishermen. They were called away from their nets, called to follow Jesus. But Jesus didn't just make an open curtain call, didn't just throw out a casting call, if you will, for apostles. He chose those specific men with those specific skills to follow him into evangelism and ministry. And then those apostles found incredible new ways in which to serve God. And then there is you. You have an amazing combination of jobs that you've done and experiences that you've had throughout your life. And God is calling you to use every one of those experiences, all of those gifts, all of those graces in service to God's people in God's church. God is calling you into a life of stewardship. God is calling you to move outside of your comfort zone and to walk in the way of Christ. My brothers and sisters, let us walk together with Jesus. Amen.